step three.
Going into it extensively, I should tell you that in the running of engrams, there are quite a few tricks, quite a few observances. These can be learned mechanically, which is to say that they're a mechanical arrangement of engrams. Now let's have this as part of an engram, I can't feel, and as we go down the track, we found that it appears here, here's the perception. We found I can't feel there, which is a somatic shutoff, so we go with I can't feel, doesn't lift. Any time a phrase like that doesn't lift, it's because it has phrases before it. So we go down here, we find I can't feel. We don't dare abandon this chase if we've gone this far with it. We've run these phrases several times, each one of them, and they haven't lifted, and so we find ourselves coming down here, and we find the same phrase here. We've already learned this when an apparee says something once, he'll say it again. So this was perhaps Mother's plan of diversion. And then we get down here, and down here, I can't feel. Now, we're getting into this basic area with stuff. The chances of lifting are better, but we may run across a condition whereby we send the person to the earliest I can feel, and he lands at the 15th or 20th. He has to have that run for a few turns, two or three turns, before he can get to an earlier one. It's as though we were unstacking, and we don't see the lower one until we get one off. And I can't feel it takes two or three runs. They're not de-intensifying particularly. However, in this rundown, at any time that you find the pre-clear is in a convulsive state, just to say it's I can't feel, and he starts to jump around, take the charge off of that engram right there, because the convulsions will come off of that engram, and that will de-intensify following up. But you keep on going down till you finally get an I can feel that's reduced. Now, it's not necessary to come back up on this I can feel. You've got the lowest one on the run, so forth. You have de-intensified the sequence. If you try to go back up, you see this one, lower and lower on one phrase. If you try to go back up the line again, you're going to run into an end. This engram at the bottom said, I can't feel, I have a headache. Or the next one up the line said, I can't feel, my shoes are too tight. The next one up the line said, I can't feel anything today, I am just numb. The next one up the line says, I can't feel it, I don't think there's anything in there. Uh-oh. Well, we haven't anything much out of the basic area this time, let's say. And we are going to get into a situation there where we're re-stimulating these things normally. Because by reducing, you get this more I can't feel, of course, you reduce. When the I can't feel reduces, you can reduce the whole engram. Follow that. So you want the stuff before I can't feel, you want the material after I can't feel. You want to reduce the whole engram. So we start down, we'll get the bottom one, the earliest we can get on this, and then we reduce the whole engram. Now if we start back up the line on I can't feel, we are doing something pretty wrong. Because, notice there these phrases, I can't feel anything, I have two shoes on, or something of the sort. That's not going to reduce, perhaps, because I have two shoes on, maybe lower and earlier than the first I can't feel we had. So we would find ourselves in a terrible interlock complexity there, which Alexander might have solved with his saber, you know, when he cut the Gordian knot. But I think free clears, I should be left relatively uncontused. And the solution on this, then, is to reduce the earliest I can't feel engram that we can find, reduce all of it, and then start in on something else. We're trying to work into the basic area. Now, if we can find, if we find, for instance, the dramatization here a lot, this fellow is saying himself, perhaps, I can't feel anything, I am just heartbroken, I am numb. Something is thought he's moping like this over a girl. We start to run this dramatization of his mopery, and having run it a time or two, just to get him into it nicely, we tell him to go to the earliest engram containing these words, and he'll quite often wind up down there at the bottom of the track or some skip, so that you don't have to walk down the bank. walking down the bank is very difficult, see? But get down, that's fine. I mentioned to you running a moment of sexual pleasure or courtship up here in the adult area or teenage area without the pre-clear telling you anything about it. He's just in the incident, and we don't ask him any data, but he's in the incident, and we realize he's settled into the incident, and we tell him to go to conception. He will quite often wind up in the conception sequence. In such a way, we can treat any dramatization. If we can find a place where Papa is telling him, yap, 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 or you can run the yap, 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 although it's just a lot, you see, and get his emotional tone up a little bit, and then tell him, go to the earliest time his father said these words. And he's liable to wind up here in the early part of the track. Such a way, we can spot any engram down there by a skip down. All this is very necessary, very interesting, and get engrams out of people much faster. But you will find in lots of cases, you can do nothing but a walk down the bank. Now, I'm taking this up particularly because we are entering in here the most delicate and at the same time most, one might say, fraught with difficulty phase of processing when we go into analytical Stephen circuitry on the one hand and valence shifters, because we are trying to find, let us say, a control yourself circuit someplace in the cage. And the only way we can get this thing out of the cage is start tracking down the bank. And maybe nobody said control yourself before the 6 months post-conception. At least the person rather hung up there. Very doubtful if that would happen. But you see, there is a difficulty with regard to this. And here we have the most skilled operation in Dianetics. Is searching for the control circuitry and looking for and knocking out valence shifters. That's very important. Now, there is a method of doing this, which is I just mentioned, and you should connect this method very intimately with control circuitry and analytical demons. That is, and valence shifters. And that is this method of running a dramatization. And then telling the person to go to the first time this appears in the bank. You'll very often do a skip and you'll go right down to the first time. Therefore, your biggest target, your most trouble, if that will work out all right, and it quite often will, then your most trouble would be getting enough straight wire data to find that dramatization up here, the lock, so you can run the lock. You follow me now. You can run the lock and go into the first time it appears in engram, because running the lock isn't going to give anybody any therapy. You get a momentary relief sometimes on lock, but it's not real honest goodness therapy. It's because the man is in reverie, and we run the lock, then we say the file clerk will now give us the first time this is set, and Max could go to the beginning of the incident. So, there's the matter there of locating a source of trouble, bad source of trouble, and making this source of trouble surrender as quickly as possible. While you get into a case where the dramatization, we get mother says, control yourself chronically, I'm ashamed of you for crying, control yourself. And, he said it's here. And we finally crack into the sequence by straight wire. Then we get down here and we run the incident we discovered. The pre-clear has this in full view. And we run the incident it's a lot. We run it just like an engram. We run it 2 or 3 times now as an engram. We now have all of its wording. We take very careful note of that wording because it may not be just control yourself. It may have some others called into it, like get a grip on yourself and fight it down. And you've got nerve. Now calm down and stay calm down and so on. other minor remarks to the lot making, and that we run that then as a lot, as a dramatization, and we jump Shelley, Bartlett, give us the first time this appeared in the bank. Well, you go whip and right off land up. Of course, that lot is sitting squarely on the end rest. So actually, he's not doing any jump. He is doing a line that the line is writing right on top of the engram. Here's the dramatization line there, and here's the engram line here. Although the lot might appear to be chronologically in this place, by returning the pre-clear to it, we actually find out the lot is sitting perhaps on top of a basic area engram. I'm entering step three and talking about many engrams in connection with step three. We go into the case, inventory, next thing we do is try to open the case, then we'll find out lots of things about the case. Now maybe the case will run engrams. Okay, case run engrams, fine, what about engrams? Get basic area engrams, go right out with your erasure. But now, I say in this case, when we started into this, when we tried to do this, we got analytical demons, and we got valences. And the trouble was such that it left us no recourse but to go to step three. Let's say the case has stuff in. All right, the case has stuff in. The only thing we can do for this case then is to knock out the control circuitry. Control circuitry is the basic cause of stuff in. All right, we knock out the control circuitry, then we knock out the valence shifters. We find that Mama has a dramatization there that says, I can't be myself around you. And we find one of those dramatizations somewhere up the line. We run that, and we skip down into this. I'm just giving you a fast review here, right at the beginning of this, before I go into it in more detail. You notice this standard procedure chart is set up in such a way that any place you stall, anywhere you stall, you go immediately to this. Now, it's this process about which I'm speaking, which is step three of the standard procedure chart. If we try to put the case in reverie, and he comes up immediately off the couch, and he says, get out of here, I don't want to talk to you, I've decided not to go through it. What do? We don't send for the cops, we just step three. We sort of surround him. We want to know something about his history. We get him talking quietly. We managed to establish a report with him, and everything went well, but suddenly we told him to close his eyes and lie down. As a matter of fact, it's interesting that this is the opening run on a race engram, usually, is lie down and so on. And it's one of the reasons why the psychiatrist is so often plagued with a psychotic belief that he has been raped while he was under narcosynthesis and so forth. He has re-stimulated a raped engram. Follow me. There are lots of raped engrams. They are not rare. Of course, I suppose there are parts of this society that the Christian Temperance Union would like to have us believe all the sweet and enlightenment world. But unfortunately, at this stage of our barbaric civilization, it's not true. I say barbaric, but it's popped in mind some cases, juvenile delinquent cases, rape cases, and so on. And if you want to go out in this society, down on South Main Street, and if you want to go down to the detention homes, if you want to go around instead of walking on the boulevard, which is all polished between, why, you find out that there's a tremendous amount of mire scattered around this world, and there's a lot of things happen. We walk by people every day who have the most fantastically involved, brutal personal history, and there they are, they're still alive, and so on. Just because, what I'm trying to bring home to you, is just because something is against the mores of the society is not a reason to believe that it does not happen. Your credulity will be stretched. That's the first of your career as professional auditor. I'm working in a small town in the southern United States for a period of time. I'm working with Dianetics, not letting anybody in on what I was doing. It was very remarkable to me, very remarkable, that the Negroes who came to me, they were supposed to be on the senior side of life, you know? They were very open-hearted and cheerful, most of them, but they were a little bit sad over something, and life hadn't been treated quite right. We run a couple of grief charges out of these people, and then we run down to the bank, and we get success, we knock it out. Not necessarily conception, but we get a basic area engram, knocked out, be assessed by the state, and even pick up an AA or two or something, and occasionally, they had a habit down there of trying AAs with turpentine. And quite remarkable as an oddity. But these people were not very bad off, although they were poor, and lived in shacks. In other words, measuring the background of one's life in terms of outward manifestation is very unreliable. Because the very bad cases I got came out of the very nice home. A very nice home. And here we got some poor guy who had, well, let's say he was a drunkard, and he had absconded with the funds, and he had done a lot of things. And we start running this fellow's case, and we find Mama's lover, then Mama's other lover, then the AA done by the minister. I found one. And the rape accomplished by the scoutmaster. And there we have the noise of the society violently. I'm not trying to say that the nice facade invariably covers the worst people, but I am saying that there isn't any common denominator here. There isn't anything by which one can judge. My grandfather would never trust a minister's son. There is something about the pattern of contagion, for instance, where the most sincere parent may yet express that great sincerity. He's gotten this on an educational level. May yet express these things around an injured person in such a way as to make that injured person terribly aberrated. You don't get a constant contagion. I'm warning you, as if you start in the picture, you're going to find a lot of secrets, a lot of cover-up, a lot of malfeasance, mayhem, arson, that you maybe never suspected of the human race before. And as you go further and further into cases, you occasionally find a case which is a chronic I'm ruined case, where he will say, he will run off 26 times that he was run over by a railroad train, the 462 times that he was shot, the 875 times that he was stabbed in the back, and you'll find that there's a consistency, though, to these engrams. He, in other words, is doing a royal case of gutting, and we find out that in each one of these things, somebody pulls him out from underneath the wheels of the truck or something. Each time we find this happening. So, there is an engram there someplace where he was rescued from some vehicle by somebody. And although he may have run it off in many guises at many ages, there is a basis on this delusion chain. So, I'm not trying to persuade you to buy everything in pre-clear culture, but I'm trying to demonstrate to you or prepare you in advance for the fact that the data you get in Dianetics is very often highly incredible, and it may give someone just a little tendency there to invalidate somebody's data. Don't do it, because on a point as critical, let us say, as mother's lover, an invalidation almost ruins the pre-clear. A rape engram, it means an engram which is occasioned by a rape. Just that. It could be conception, it could be in the middle midway of the prenatal period, it could be the person being raped, himself or herself, postpartum, as a little child, as a teenager, or as an adult. I mean, it's an engram. A rape engram usually has a lot of charge on it. yow, 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 yow. Get away, you don't. So on. There are all sorts of deniers on it. Leave me alone. Let me get up. So on. You try to get the first minute in them and wham, wham. Very difficult to hold them down into it. And you start to put a person back down the track. You just tell them to lie down. The next words are, you say lie down. Mama said, let me up. I don't trust you. I think you're doing wrong. I hate you. So you say, lie down. I think you're doing wrong. I'm not sure about this. I don't know whether I want to go into diabetic therapy or not. Now let me up. So this happens to the person. You try to put this person down on the couch. It took me a long time to get this fellow down on the couch. And I know I have some other things. We put this person down on the couch and he bounces off of the couch again. Bang, bang. Don't sit there and try persuading. You just triggered men to get such behavior as this. And this is that this person is naturally scary. As a matter of fact, you can take that word naturally, take it delicately by the tail on the wire, hold it up, go find the garbage can, and drop it in. Because saying that somebody behaves naturally, he just naturally didn't like this, or he naturally didn't like that, is you'll find your frequently using it. Well, I just naturally don't like to. I am just naturally averse to. And so on. Unaberrated conduct is quite obvious. And anything that is not unaberrated conduct is very far from natural thought by invention. So, never let yourself be persuaded by a free player that there is something wrong as he tries to rationalize wrong with you, wrong with the room, wrong with this that he just naturally doesn't like. And if you then go along this line, you will try to make some sort of an adjustment for him. The second you do that, you're saying to the enzyme, okay, you can have it. Further, you shouldn't go on re-stimulating this enzyme by asking and saying the same things that you did. You take a different tack. The case where you say, lie down and bounce up, you immediately go into step three. That's how quick you go into step three. You don't say immediately to yourself, well, look at here, I've got to go A1 and A2 before I can go to step 3. Therefore, it's absolutely necessary to get this person to lie down. No. Any time this case interrupts anywhere along the line of center speed, you can't get an inventory on this case. For instance, he won't let himself be inventoried, and you'll run into such people. Go to step 3. Actually, there is another bracket, another provision for standard procedure. It was not written up because it belongs actually to the field of institutional Dianetics. Institutional Dianetics has the terrific problem of acceptability. When you talk on psychotics before we finish here, but institutional Dianetics has this problem continually. And it takes a clever auditor to deal with it. And will, at least, until we get things a little straighter. We're still working on institutional Dianetics. We've got to put a weapon into the hands of people in institutions that are running them in order to create this accessibility and create it rapidly. A Dianetic auditor working carefully with any one of these people will produce results. He is, accessibility is on the order of the psychotic tearing around the room, but on every fifth whirl, he will look at you and repeat what you're telling him to, every fifth whirl. And he's going around saying, hello, calm down, calm down, calm down, calm down. And you say, repeat that. So he won't pay attention to you maybe that time, but the next time you get him, you say, would you please repeat, calm down? And you'll say, well, if you want me to, and do you want me to? And you say, Yes, I want you to. And you say, well, now I repeat, calm down. Well, you didn't say, I want you to. All right, then, I want you to say, calm down. All right, now how shall I say it? Shall I say it here, in the middle of the floor? Or shall I say it sitting over on the bed? Or shall I say it leaning on the bureau? Now, What's your life there? Well, I'll say it on the desk. Ah, you didn't say I want you to. This is a problem in accessibility. Eventually, you can get this person, if you keep that, you're very calm about the whole thing, and very much in possession of yourself, you get this person eventually to say, calm down. And if you get them to say, calm down a few times, and get it to roll over, well, you may get a little false thought, you know, a little laughter off the thing. First, calm down, that's a terrific surprise. And then you get the holders out of it, the bouncers, and so forth. You're running an engram, you see, all time around. So you just get them to repeat those things, and then get them in another valence. So on. You can work it out, even catatonic, simply work. But it's a problem with accessibility. Now, the fellow who bounces up off the couch every time you try to ask him to lie down, that is a problem with accessibility. Actually, accessibility should lead the list. If we can't get an inventory on this person, we can go to step three, working a person who is all approachable, who is normally fairly rational, and who will and perform routine tasks of what's going on with it. Just working in this way. Go to step three. Step three, clear on straight line memory and look for demon sets and balance commands and memories of parents, possible allies, and so forth. That's, you're trying to inventory what you see. You're trying to ask him what happened to him, and he can't tell you what happened to him. The odd part of it is that there are dodges. There are a lot of dodges that you can use to try to get there. This direction. Getting to talking about something. Take it up on this order. The fellow says, well, I can't remember. And you say, well, let's see. Oh, let's remember this morning when you got up. Well, let's remember. Well, let's remember the moment when you came down here. No? Well, let's remember when you were here and just walked in. Just walked in the place. No? Let's remember when you walked into my office here, just a minute ago. Not just into the building, let's remember when you walked right into this office and sat down in the chair. Let's remember what I said just a minute ago. Oh, you said, remember when you walked in. Well, now let's see if we can't remember a little bit more about this. First thing you know, you'll have it remembered. And you sometimes have to work quite hard to get a person to remember. It sounds foolish to you, perhaps, but there's always this gag of creeping up on it. You take a little tiny portion of what you want him to do, and then you make him do that. And then you extend that portion out that far, make him do that. And then extend it that far, make him do that. And he keeps reaching. In a case which refuses utterly to remember, there are fear and grief charges in this case that are very, very heavy. And actually, I has been chased out, you might say. It keeps getting chased out up into it. He's actually frozen on the track, but I sort of has the feeling that the spring can't touch any of this stuff. If I start remembering, I'll be overwhelmed. So you coax him into it, and you're demonstrating to him that it's safe to remember. That's all you're doing. He says, I can't remember people. You say, well, now you remember your wife, now you remember what she looks like, and so forth. He kind of shudders off on that. Well, you can even carve it down to the point where, well, you remember me, don't you? The fellow says, I can't remember names. He refuses to remember names of 4 or 5 years ago. All right, you can boil it down to the point where you ask him to remember your name. And if he can't do that, ask him to remember his own name. At any one of these points, why, you say to him triumphantly, now you see, you can remember names. Now, when you've made him remember his own name, he has now the points that he can remember a name. Now let's make it two names. Now have him remember your name. Now have him remember his wife's first name. Let him remember his children's name. And in such a way, his boss, and this one and that one. And it'll get ridiculous to him after a while. Here he is piling off name after name. He told you all this time that he can't remember names. Well, after a while, you say,
surrenders on the whole thing, and he said, well, Mary, yes, teacher in the first grade's name was Elston. What happened there is that I was crept back down the track with a few attention units. Well, well, never been in here before. I wonder. I wrote Chip Bumlin in the dark. You see straight line memory on that basis. You can reach enormous quantities of data. You can really start to get data if you just sit down and ask the person to remember this, remember that. And this creep up process of things that are easy and then things a little harder to remember. I dare say if this was set up as a research project and a person were worked on nothing but straight memory, let us say for 50 or 100 hours in small ingredients, let's say of a straight memory on the basis of maybe half an hour, 45 minutes a day, for 50 or 100 hours, you would probably have him up to a point of rehabilitation as far as memory is concerned, of saying, well, what did you eat on August the 4th, 1916? He says, spinach. That was for supper. Maybe you meant breakfast. That was sheared eggs. This person was a bad memory. Because you keep whipsawing and making him remember things and trying to find out who said that you had a bad memory, who had a bad memory in your family. You're trying to find a source of contagion. Here we must understand the principle of the contagion of aberration. You find it covered in the book. In straight line memory, it becomes very, very important to understand those principles. The contagion is in the exact word. Somebody says, you know, I am very nervous. No, somebody says, you know, I'm awfully, awfully apprehensive. Don't look for an earlier moment in the person's life when somebody said, you have an anxiety complex. Look for somebody saying, I am awfully nervous. Or look for a valence shift to somebody who said continually this. You get the idea. I'll make this very positive. In order for a person to feel the aberrations of some member of a family, there's usually some sort of valence shifter at work. It may be the kind of a valence shifter which shifts them precisely into the valence of that person who used the word. It may be a valence shifter which shoots them into the valences of all the members of the family. It may be a valence shifter that shoots them into the valences of everybody in the human race. And it may be a valence shifter which shifts them out of a human valence entirely and just lets them idle here in a synthetic valence, no specific individual. I have seen people fastened solidly in the valence of a dog. Matter of fact, it is often commented upon that dogs are, and masters very often look alike. Well, of course, the dog is very devoted to the master, but the master is very devoted to the dog. And here's an ally, and it's too common to have the ally picked up as a valence. So this fellow has lived with this dog for 5 years, and imagine if he was living with a bloodhound. Now, the contagion of aberration is complicated by valences, very much complicated by valences, because somebody, here was a case in point, young lady, that I was giving a cross question to yesterday, put the Indian sign on it to pick up a little data. She said, you know, I used to, when I was psychoanalyzed, all of my friends had the same experience. We were psychoanalyzed all right, but when we came out of it, you know, we were, still hadn't regained any democracy or anything. Well, this is fine. All of my friends, there was that generality. Further, I think, was collecting generalities. One of his generalities is, Jews never go anywhere. All of my friends, she says, feel it while he doesn't tie this thing down, and we find out that, well, she does anyway. And then we tie it down a little bit further, and we start to find out this, that She had lost her vivacity before she went into psychoanalysis. She had mislaid that point. And then, as we go further in this case, we find out that Mama was not vivacious at all. Further research finds that Papa left Mama when this girl was 7 months post-conception. She's never laid her eyes on Papa. That kind of a person was Papa. He was vivacious. Well, now who said you were like Papa? People said I resembled him most. But Mama said not to be like you. Papa was vivacious. Everybody said she was like Papa. She had just made a description of Papa. Of course, we had a lot of them done. That's the early that she could emulate. And then Mama was said not to be like Papa. And of course, here's just the proper setup. But this data is all very interesting, but we couldn't do much for the case just with this. Craig Wire in this case didn't have to give her any relief. I found all sorts of early circuits and locks all over the place and so on, and he just kept sitting there wringing her hand. Well, this is peculiar to a case which has had a definite and large sweeping shift in his life. That is to say, the personnel present during the prenatal period is changed postnatally or in childhood, very early childhood. So you don't have a trace, really, on the dramatizations of one of these persons. Somebody has probably keyed in these engrams, somebody like Papa, but it would be a sort of a gunshot thing that maybe hundreds of people have talked to her, and one after the other keyed in something. But we don't have Papa there. We don't have any of Papa's locks. So we can't find what Papa did say. All we can find out is what Mama said. Well, this is fortunate. It's better than not having any parents around the child as far as our processing is concerned, because we can now find some of these locks and discover some of Mama's chronic dramatization. However, we run the risk in this case of having Mama shift valence once Papa had left her, so that she is not pulling off the same engramming line that she pulled off when Papa said. Maybe Papa reminded Mama of Grandpa, you see? And the aspect, the valence of Mama around Papa was the same as it had been for Grandpa, perhaps. That might be Grandma's valence she did. But now, postpartum, I know it sounds like it starts to get complicated, but it does. So that after Papa has left Mama, we have a long period then of Mama sorrowing. Maybe she was in Aunt Agnes's valence, who was an old maid. And then all of a sudden, Jameson Thorpe shows up and curls his long black mustache, and Mama shifts over into somebody else's valence. Actually, Mama can shift all the way over to be in her former husband's valence. You see, so we wouldn't get constant dramatizations up the line. This case responded to straight line memory just exactly as you would suspect that it would. There's not enough data on the engrams. Although the engrams were stimulated, we don't have specific targets. We found a couple of times where teachers had spoken to her and had restimulated some of the basic engrams. And yet, by straight line recall, nothing happened. This girl just sat there continuing to wring her hands. However, she's a pianola case, and the cases which haven't had the parents around are more apt to be pianola than the cases which have. It's a great commentary on the American poem. So, down, she should have just been put down the track, wham, basic area. She was already open. I don't know why I was playing with straight line memory, except I was amusing myself. But he could have gone right down to the bottom of the track and probably run out of deception and started an eraser. She had excellent recall. She had heavy control circuitry, but just the same, she would work. Her control circuitry was so heavy that although she was on track with full perceptics, when you asked her to remember anything, she didn't remember, she returned, and she had all of her life. So you say, well, what happened to this teacher? How old were you? The teacher said, I was about five. Six. Six. And what'd she look like? Well,
so-and-so. What's she saying? Oh, such and such. Give me an A-flat. Six. She's returned down the track. So you're at the control circuitry, but the control circuitry was operating in the auditor's favor. She was coasting up and down the track and had been all of her life. Now, the reason why she had a hard time in analysis is not very hard to discover. The analyst was running a case in reverie, and the analyst was saying, now, tell me about the time you drowned your grandmother's kitten. And she was right there drowning the kitten. And he'd say, well, it's 4-1. Now, let's tell me about it. And she'd say, Mama said so-and-so. Well, no, just give me the idea about the whole thing. And, so I went out and drowned the kitten, and I thought they sang over. That's too bad. That's too bad. Now, let's go. So, of course, the analyst, poor guy, had a patient sitting there, coasting all over the time track, going into anything, going into everything. Naturally, that sooner or later, if an engram would get re-stimulated, naturally she'd be worse off for having gone through these things. Something, it was a risk, an unknown risk before. I've run into several cases like this, by the way, but all the analysts would have had to do is say, go to the early form of pain or unconscious, you would have got conception. Wham! Wouldn't that have surprised you? No, he just told it was delusion. An interesting thing, two chaps up at Columbia University about a year ago had gone to a psychiatrist, and they were doing sort of this automatic return proposition, coasting around on the track. And the psychiatrist, they ran into some prenatals about a year ago. And the psychiatrist told them, all is delusion. After all, you know this is delusion. They got furious with it. They said, politely speaking, to hell with you. And went home and thought this over, and they said, you know, it might do a great deal of good to remember these incidents. So they worked on each other. And they had pains here and pains there. But they didn't know what they were running. They didn't know how to run it. Gene Altman, who was in one of the basic course classes back there, discovered these two characters. And they'd been remembering. They call it remembering. And they said that they would remember this, and they would remember that, one to the other. They were sort of doing a strange job of co-auditing. And they were down there in the prenatal area, and they were remembering this and that. And of course, they didn't know enough to go through the thing. A few times, they didn't know enough to try to find a girl to remember. And they didn't know anything. And here was a locomotive running on the track with a wide open throttle. And Gene Altman sat them down, one after the other. They were in terrible shape. One of them was just that far from a psychotic break. And talk about aches and pains and everything else. They were in a mess. One of them had developed spinal arthritis. And Gene Altman sat down. He worked for 5 hours, 2.5 hours on each one, got them straightened out, got some stuff off the basic area, you know, and knocked some grief off the cases, and got them cleaned up a little bit, the tension off. He put a copy of Dianetics in their hands, and he said, now, it says right here, this is the way you do it. And they went off and sinned no more. I don't know how many cases of this character there have been in the past, or how much of the grief that has been attributed to psychoanalysis, like psychoanalysis is well known, psychoanalysis can trigger a neurosis, and so forth. How much of this automatic return proposition had to do with that, I don't know. It must have had considerable to do with it. Because I have found a pretty good proportion of people are skidding around on their tracks without knowing what they're doing. Perception full on, but discharging nothing. And, let's remember what was said, and so on. By the way, some, the bulk of them skid around on the track, and yet they have doubters as to their own data, or they have doubt as to what they're reading. I can't believe it, or something of the sort. And they can see the book, they know that it was the book, and so on, and they can't read it. They have a hard time. All right? What I'm telling you is that you're sometimes going to get straight wire cases. They're not straight wire at all, but are returning on the track. And you're not going to get much therapy from them, but anytime you have somebody who is returning that easily on the track, you don't need straight wire. All you do is slam them, take care of it, conception perfectly sequence run out, the old sequence run out, the first part of Tuesday, first part of the morning, second day, and you keep on, and by that time, you run 5, 6, 10 engrams, something like that, the rest of them are starting to erase. And they'll start erasing automatically all the way up the line. Then you get up to the brief discharge and run those off, and you get back and run off the old stuff, you got clear. This is a P&O occasion. Actually, most P&O cases that you see run and so on do to some degree control themselves. They've still got circuitry in them. Yes. For instance, this girl was just loaded with circuitry. Now,
the circuitry
is that the process of recovering data, springing locks by straight memory, and setting up the case in such a way that it's going to reverie. If you have a case which is very recalcitrant, you can generally do enough for this case on straight memory processing. Actual processing. Getting your earliest block, getting him to remember this, remember that. Remember the bad things he thinks about himself, who said them. You know, I've always failed in school. Well, who used to play that you failed in school? Well, as a matter of fact, but then, of course, I never could study. Well, you said that too, as a matter of fact. And you get data that you're springing locks at the same time. You're opening up somebody's recall. Don't let the person wander. You want specific data. You want to knock out the key-ins on the aberrations, if you can, that's preventing this character from cooperating. That's very important. You want a free enough attention unit. You want to give the analyzer, you want to turn on the analyzer enough so that it will work with you. At any step here, then anywhere along the line, the case breaks down. If you can't get accessibility in any other way, try to get it in straight memory. If you can't get an inventory, why go into step 3 and try to find out if we can't key out some data, which prevents this person from telling you. It may be that he has a secret, a tremendous secret of some sort, and starts to tell you about his own life, and we find out eventually that he had a secret, all right, but the engram causing it was, I don't dare tell you about myself. You wouldn't listen anyway, something like that. We can key out stuff enough to clear up the case, ease it down. First thing you know, the person's in reverie, and you're running engrams with him. That is the cycle. Then, any point in standard procedure where you are unable to proceed, you go over here to step 3, putting in straight line memory, and you get your analytical demons in sight to control yourself mechanisms, like you've got to get a grip on yourself, you've got to do it yourself. I have to do it myself, and you've got to learn how to do it yourself, too. That's sort of, that's all control circuitry. That's control yourself.